You're listening to a DM podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Beyond the Likes. Ba boom boom ching. It is your host, Amy Gerard, and we are joined today by Kate Dodd, who is the other half of
Ask a Mage.
Woo! We should have like our little theme song.
We need a song. We've done this before. I think it should be That's What Friends Are For.
That's what friends are for.
In good times.
And bad times.
I'll be on your side. I can't get up by that. That's me done.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
It's been a while.
I know. I'm nervous. I'm back to being nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's just me. And we're just in a little room, just the two of us.
Yeah.
Both of our tits look great today. Oh,
thank you, Erin, my Intimo bra.
Oh, is that an Intimo bra?
Yeah.
Strapless?
No.
A normal one. Yeah, titties look great.
It's actually really heavy, but it's like I feel amazing in it.
They look nice and voluptuous.
Mm.
Yeah?
We can touch them later.
Shake them. Shake them for me. Okay. Shake what your mama gave you. Okay. So everybody has been asking when you're making a comeback. The people need help.
They do.
Okay. Obviously, I put a question box up yesterday. I'm kind of glad I didn't put it up any sooner because we get peppered with lots and lots of questions.
Yeah.
So look, we've given each other a few questions. We can both answer them. We're going to try and get through as many as we can, but also hopefully we'll be back in the not-so-distant future and we can do this again and
yeah,
get to definitely. The ones that we didn't answer. So.
Wait, before we start.
Oh, yeah.
Amy's hungover as shit, oh. Just so you know.
I love that you just had to drop that in there. Just throw me under the bus.
Life update.
Life update, yes. We have gone to Woolworths. I've bought a Hydralyte, a litre of water, some Nurofen and some lollies and...
Chippies.
Kettle chips, yeah. Mm. But we're good.
Yeah,
and you know
what?
We're here and that's all that matters.
Yes.
The show will always go on.
Absolutely. Rain, hail or...
Hungover. Okay, so do you want me to start with the first question or would you like to ask me one?
Go.
All right. Teenage boys. Now, this is a good one for you because I haven't hit the teens yet.
Oof, yeah.
This mum says, 13-year-old, suddenly too cool for me. He's retreating... snappy, cringed out, like, oh, mum. And he's so much more or less affectionate. And she's got a little love heart that's broken.
I feel like I wrote that.
Is that?
Although Chase is 15.
Yeah. But I feel like you have a really great relationship with him.
We do. We do have a great relationship when he wants it.
Oh, it's on his terms.
Yeah. Like... Mm.
All
I feel
teenagers.
Like, yeah, but also in the dating world as well. Sometimes
yes.
I feel like it's, you know, it's on their terms. And it's taken us a long time to get to a place where, you know, he can confide in me. Mm. He can tell me, and I tell him all the time, tell me whatever you want. Like I might get angry and I might react, but I'd rather you tell me and we have a conversation than you lie to me. Because if you lie to me, I'll cut your head off.
Yeah.
Because I can't handle that, which is hilarious because I used to lie to my parents all the time.
I lied so much.
So I am a huge hypocrite.
Yeah.
But I really want to have that open door policy with him.
Yeah.
But the flip side is the other day he was showing me a photo and it was him and a group of girls. And I was like, oh, do you like that girl? Like just... I'd never seen her before. I was just asking a simple question and he launched into me. Not every girl that it's on my photos do I like.
Oh.
And I was like, whoa. Like I've obviously touched a nerve
here. So that's a yes.
And I lost it. Yeah. I was F-bombing and like, how dare you speak to me like that? I asked you a simple question.
Mm.
I didn't say... have you put your penis in her? And then that's when he started doing the cringy thing. Like I didn't ask anything personal other than do you like her? Like as a friend, relax. Like just freaking calm down and stop launching into me.
Yeah.
But we've had that conversation a number of times because it's when something strikes a nerve with him, he just attacks. And look, he's probably a bit like me.
He sounds like his mum. Yeah.
But it's hard to deal with. And it hurts. It's just, I just want to have a conversation with him and just find out who this girl is. But look, I think just that open and honest communication, even when there are these instances, I was like, no, we don't do that. You can absolutely say to me, oh, mum, for God's sake, I don't like every girl that comes across my path.
Yep.
You don't have to attack. So it's difficult because, again, it's all on his terms. He's in his room. He's on his phone.
He doesn't want a bar of you, right?
Not at all. But, I'll say to him, do you want to come and watch the basketball? Because that's our thing. We go to the basketball. You know, we watch it. So I'll say to him, do you want to come and watch it with me? Because I'm really invested now. And he's like, nah.
You know what? I haven't hit the teen years yet, but I am terrified of having teenagers because I am so emotional and I am a Pisces through and through, and I wear all my hearts and my feelings on my sleeves.
Yeah.
And knowing that that is in my future, regardless of how I parent or anything, it's going to break me as well. And my mum, I am so close with my parents and I put them through hell as a teenager. My mum still gets really emotional when she talks to me about how I treated her when I was in my teens. And it absolutely destroys me now as a mum because I'm like, I know how much sacrificing you do as a mum. And I'm so sorry. She was like, you used to write me letters telling me that you hated us.
You
tried to run away from home. You didn't want a bar. So I just think, not that this is any advice, but I think you just have to know that it is a stage that they all go through, right?
Yeah.
And I was an absolute fuckwit, but I feel like I've come good.
Yeah. And then they say big people, big problems. And you know, we're navigating relationships and, you know, him being ghosted and me wanting to rip these girls' heads off because I feel for him because, you know, he's so beautiful and he just can't make them stay.
But, and that would be so hard as
and
well.
And it is hard. And at his last breakup, he said to me, I need to tell Auntie Amy.
Oh,
which
is
hilarious that, you know, I don't know. He just wanted to talk to you and tell you about it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because I'm not his mum. And so sometimes it's nice to have a little safe space outside of a parental figure.
Yeah.
All right, you asked me a question.
Okay. What to do if your next door neighbours are Satan?
Oh.
Everyone else is so lovely though.
Oh, shit.
This is hard.
She's not going to like this answer. So, and Bezel won't care about me talking about this, but Bezel used to live in a beautiful house in Cronulla overlooking the water. It was sensational. And the rest of the people in the street were neither here nor there, quite elderly, but always friendly. But her next door neighbours were also Satan. They made her life a living hell. When the fucking dog barked, when they painted their walls a certain colour, the pool filter, they complained weekly to the council.
What?
Every single week, and they had to send somebody from the council out to verify the complaint, make sure everything. When they were renovating, it was just complaint after complaint after complaint. Then they built this horrendous thing on the side of their house so that they didn't have to look into Lauren and Trent's home. It was, and she was like, it is completely and utterly ruining our experience here because it is such a beautiful house with a beautiful view and it's a nice street. But the neighbor to the side of them, Lauren was like, I couldn't even I bought these collars that would zap my dogs every time they barked because every time the dogs barked, they would complain. And it just ruined her whole time there. I mean, they've moved now. I don't have anything to go off other than that case.
Yeah.
And it did. It really overshadows everything else. But
that's almost a lifelong commitment to Satan. If you have, you know, recently bought the house, so it's not like you'd be
I'm pretty sure this person who wrote that question in has just built.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's not like they've just bought a house. I think that they're building their dream house.
Yeah. Look, I think you just need to burn their house down.
Either burn their house down or you could try a different approach and try and win them over.
Yeah, kill them with kindness.
You could kill them with kindness or kill them with mushrooms, right? Beef Wellington, anyone?
I actually love Beef Wellington.
I love Beef Wellington too. Disclaimer, I did not encourage anyone to murder anyone. Okay. Thoughts, feelings, perspective on family estrangement.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Are you estranged from anyone?
Not anymore.
Uh-huh.
I have lots of thoughts and perspectives, but I guess I want to first of all say I've been through it.
Yeah.
But I want to be respectful and not, you know, dredge up the past. So of course. I'll talk about it. But disclaimer, family, I love you all and we're very happy.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Yep.
So a few years ago we had a bit of a rough patch with family.
Yep.
And it really was horrendous. So I as soon as you started reading that, I was like, just that PTSD, you know, the pain that comes with that. From my perspective, it caused problems even for Craig and I, and it caused problems with the wider family because it was almost like, oh, do we have to choose a side? We don't want to choose a side. And I never, ever expected anyone to choose a side, but it just was it had so many flow-on effects.
Yeah, of course.
At the time, I just had to protect my peace. I had to decide that I wasn't going to put myself in a situation where I would be ignored or, you know, looked at like Satan. I just didn't have any fight left in me. There was fights. There was plenty of fights. Mm. But I just didn't have any fight left in me. So I just retreated and really took a step back. Didn't go to family functions, which I have a lot of regret about because, you know, that's potentially my nieces or my nephews or, you know, things that I'm missing out on or that I did miss out on. Mm-hmm. But it was about protecting my peace and protecting my own family.
Yeah.
So, it's a tough one. All I can say is it took time. It took time and slowly but surely the rifts mended. Mm-hmm. Not at the same time. You know, I was able to form a relationship with one person, but it took a long time to get the other person back on side. But once the other person was kind of back on side, that really, really sort of not fixed everything and everything was happy families, but it took the pressure off and the anxiety off. And I didn't have to worry about going to family functions and how would I be treated and what would that look like. But it took time. Time and patience, which I have none of. patience, that is. I have a lot of time, but no patience.
Yeah.
But there's nothing you can do. Like if you just are looking at things from a completely different perspective and there's never shall the two meet, there's nothing you can do other than either just, you know, stay estranged or build the bridges. Yeah. And it just, again, for us, it just took time and just the hope that at one point it would be okay.
I also have some friends, two girlfriends of mine, they've had these quite strained relationships with their parents.
Yeah.
And one in particular I know, when she became a mum herself, she was like, wow, I realised that there is a lot of trauma surrounding my childhood and neglect, and it's trudged up all these feelings for her.
Yeah.
And she tried to start going to therapy with her mum to kind of fix these feelings and to move forward with them. But every time they were catching up and every time they were trying to, you know, mend their relationship, she was just being constantly let down and constantly disappointed. And so she has made a decision to basically remove herself from her mum's life. And she was like, in absolute all sorts, because you never want to do that, right? Yeah. It's your mum. You never ever want to be that person that says, right, I'm cutting ties.
Yeah.
But she was like, I need to look after myself and 100%. I'm a mum now and I want to be the best mum I can for my own children and I have to do what's right. And that relationship has run its course and she brings me nothing but angst and upset and disappointment. And so she's, and two girlfriends I know have both cut ties from their families.
Yeah.
Which would be so hard.
Oh, so hard. See, at least with me, I kind of lived with the hope that it would be okay.
Yeah.
Even though it took years. Like I'm talking years.
I think these ones were like, they had realised that there was so much that, you know, in their childhood that was you know, you don't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah.
And right. And then you become a mum and you're like, wow, like you used to leave me at home when I was five and
isn't
you would
it go bizarre. Like right. Something happened to Chase and my doctor was like, you need to go to the psychologist. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. And then so it started talking about, you know, when Chase had a seizure and how that made me feel and, you know, losing a child, was I losing another one? And then it was like, I've got all these daddy issues. Like, how do we get here?
Right? It's that.
It's just the core of everything, really.
Right? Like. Yeah. Well, everything they say, it all stems from between the ages of like 5 and 8 and like all of those feelings and your frontal lobes developing. Wow. Well,
yeah.
Anyway.
Hi, my name's Kate and I have daddy issues.
Are you attracted to older men?
Yeah. Like the silver fox. I like the silver fox.
I mean,
fox.
I don't have daddy issues and so am I.
Yeah. I think we're just dirty perbs.
Maybe we're just dirty cougars. Always a bit hot under the collar. Love you, Ryan.
Love you, Craig. Why do men propose and then drop out of the wedding planning? And it's like mic drop emojis.
Mic drop. I mean, this is quite a funny question. Because that's exactly what Ryan did. Like, he proposed and then he basically just turned up on the day of the wedding. Like, we would go and visit venues together and we picked a venue together, but then he just ghosted. But the thing is, I would not have wanted him. I needed him out of my way.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what I wanted. I ran a few things past him and he could not have given a single F. Yeah. He was like, whatever you want, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Is that the one you like? Yeah, that one. I just feel like if your partner was heavily involved in the wedding planning, it'd probably shit you.
Yeah.
Right? Probably do your head in a bit. Because let's say old mate gets involved and he's like, right, I'm on board. And then you start clashing on your opinions and your tastes and your likes. I'd be like, wedding's off, buddy.
Yeah,
feed it. We've got nothing in common.
Why do you care about what colour my bridesmaids are? You're weird.
I think the further removed they are, the better.
Yeah.
So you can do your thing. But I think if it's annoying you, just speak up and ask for help with certain things. Or I just used to sit down at the end of the night with Ryan and we'd have a glass of wine and I'd be like, this is what I'm thinking. Do you like it? And he'd be like, yeah.
I don't even think I did that.
I did that either.
We picked the venue. We, you know, did all the big things. Mm. But I was like, okay, I'm having black bridesmaid dresses. You sort out whatever your boys are wearing.
Yeah.
These are the flowers we're having.
It sounds like this woman almost wants her partner to be involved.
Yeah. Maybe she just wants to do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I was same as you, get out of my way. Yeah. Like just sign here. Yeah.
Move along, buddy.
To wrap it up, just do it yourself and
get him involved on the parts where you really, really care about his opinion. But otherwise, just
have what you
want. Let him stay in his own lane and full steam ahead for you, girl.
Yeah.
And congrats on the engagement.
Can we come to the wedding?
We're great wedding guests.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you get on the dance floor?
Yes, but...
But what? Kate's not invited.
I'm going through perimenopause and I'm very hot and
sweaty.
Well,
we'll bring a little personalised fan.
Okay. I just need it to be in winter.
Okay. Winter wedding and we're there.
Southern Highlands.
I'm... Antarctica. Oh, okay. This is a good one.
Okay.
My fiancé just told me she had an emotional affair with a girl from work for months. Help.
Oof.
Emotional to me is harder to move past than a physical. Like, do you not agree? Like, I feel like if I mean, they're both not great, but like if Ryan slipped and fell into a vagina one night, I'd be like, wow, okay, we need
to
discuss that.
That's a terrible fall you had.
What a terrible fall. As opposed to him being like thinking of another woman and texting another woman and, I don't know, jerking off to another woman and like that woman occupying his thoughts, that I would struggle with that a lot more. But on the flip side, she has come to you and admitted it. Right. Well, I hope that's the case.
Yeah. So first of all, my friend who's a lesbian, she told me that lesbians fall and get engaged like the next day. So.
Oh, well, I get it because women are emotional creatures, right?
That's right.
And that's how.
They love different, they have sex different, they connect different.
Yep.
So that would be my worry.
Well, yeah, sorry. And this woman who sent in the question is looks like she is in a female-female relationship. So I'm assuming
That's probably – like, I'm not saying that that's not how we all feel in all relationships.
Yeah.
But I, from what I understand from my friend, it's like we fall hard and we get engaged and we move in and we get a dog.
Yeah, and that's so funny because I've got a gay friend – well, I've got multiple. And they just, like, they'll walk past a dude in the street and I fuck each other, and then the next minute they're fucking in the bushes, right? Because they're just dudes.
Anyway,
we're stereotyping. We're not trying to do that at all.
No. But, yeah, I agree with you. The emotional affair is – it's harder to break as well because you – like you said, if you fall into a vagina or you fall onto a penis and you never see that person again, you know.
Whatever.
Me, I'd probably still fall in love. But I'm a different breed. Normal people would be just like, okay, that was a one-off. Like, can we get past this? Whatever. But when there's that emotional connection, that's – because how do you trust that – if you say, okay, that has to end, and they're like, yeah, okay, how do you trust that they're still not?
And you can't get in their brain.
Switch it off.
Whereas like actions, I'm hoping that the questions come in because this partner has come to her and said, hey, I've got these feelings for another woman and I've been thinking about her and I find myself, you know, having lunch with her and wanting to text her and stuff like that. And hopefully she has been honest and forthcoming and this is not something that she's been found out about.
Yeah. In all honesty, you know, either the comeback is, okay, well, you need to stop.
Yeah. Talking or working with her.
Get a new job.
Yeah.
Burn the office down.
Feed her beef Wellington.
Because that's a tough one because, you know, you're seeing this person potentially every day. So even to be able to make a conscious decision, okay, I'm not going to talk to Amy anymore because I love her and I need to cut myself off from my feelings.
Yeah.
But then you're in my face every day because we work together.
Yeah.
Like, that's really hard.
It is a hard one.
But maybe the other person's been like, hey, you know what? You're in a relationship. I'm going to take a step back. And she's gone, oh, shit. Okay. I need to be upfront and say this is what's occurred and you know, hopefully we can put it behind us.
Oh. We need to know, are they still working together?
Yeah.
If not, I would be like, in order for you to feel more comfortable and secure in the relationship, I'd almost feel like they'd need to not be working there.
I agree.
You know? And then you can work on rebuilding that trust and just hope that it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. And then if they are still working together, time and trust and lots of checkings of phones. Oh, I mean, what did
what?
I say?
Just checking on their phone at all times.
Checking
what?
The likes.
Yeah, check recently deleted items, you know, the jam. Okay, but also Godspeed.
Yeah.
And Ask a Mate is here for you because that would not be a nice position to be in.
No, not at all.
We love you.
Okay. Should I feel obliged to satisfy hubby when I have zero libido? Libido is a long-term issue, so that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she loves him with a love heart so much.
Oh.
She just doesn't want to touch his penis.
She just doesn't love his penis.
Yeah.
This would be really, really hard. Zero libido. So is she asexual?
There's lots of kids in there.
Oh, okay. So they've had kids.
Yeah. So I think
are the kids young?
Not babies. Like young, but
the fact
not
that
babies.
She said it's a long term issue.
Yeah.
Maybe she's still in the stage where like where I was. Like my libido basically went missing for a good 3-4 years when I had all mine and I was in the trenches.
Yeah.
And I know it went missing because I couldn't even get myself off. By masturbating.
Yeah.
Like, started like a friction burn fire down there one night and I was like, come on! And nothing. But I do think that there needs to be some form of connection. And if it's not going to be sex for a while, it can be other things. It can be like holding hands. It could be giving each other a massage. It could be sitting in each other's arms on the couch, kissing. And you know what? Sometimes, like, what I used to do with Ryan, because I went from being, like, pretty out there with my sex drive and a really quite a high sex drive to basically asexual. And Ryan's sex drive used to be able to match mine, and then his sex drive didn't change, but now all of a sudden he's with a potato who doesn't want a root ever. So I would have sex with him, and we were intimate, and I did do it for him. And the thing is, once it started, it always felt good.
It's like the gym.
It is exactly like the gym. You never want to go to the gym. But when you're there, you're like, oh, this is not too bad.
And then afterwards, I can do this.
Yeah. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, I feel so good.
Yeah.
And my thing with Ryan is I never really felt horny at all when I was like three kids deep, young babies and stuff. And even now, like, I don't feel anywhere near as horny as I used to.
Yeah.
But he'll come and he'll throw a leg over, he'll hit me up, and I'll be like, oh, shit, I haven't put it out in a fortnight. And then we'll have sex. And then when we're having sex, I feel great. Yeah. It feels good. He makes sure I get off. He gets off. Everyone hits a home run.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, it's the afterwards for me, which I cling to. Like, it instantly reconnects us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, instead of sitting on polar opposite ends of the lounge, I'm right next to him, cuddled up. And it, and then, like, over time, I end up back on the other side of the lounge. But after that initial coital, post-coital.
Coital.
That's right.
It's from the 50s.
Yeah.
I like it, though.
Yeah. It is a nice feeling. And I do think relationships are give and take. And sometimes you got to give some, even when you don't really want to have sex.
Yeah.
You know, there might be other stages where, you know, he needs to give stuff that he doesn't really want to do for you, right? Yeah. I think it is, it's never a 50-50 thing. It's, you know, sometimes you got to lean in 70-30, vice versa, and it changes and it's constantly ebbing and flowing. But I do think, especially when you said you love him so much,
yeah,
it really does.
Like, he's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy. You've got children together.
Yeah.
When you do it, you'll feel so much better afterwards.
Yeah.
Get yourself a pair, bring in all the sex toys, lube, watch porn together. Fucking hell. Can't help yourself, can you?
Got to get it in there.
Queen
potty
rimmer.
Equals rimming.
Do not rim your husband. You'll become even more asexual. Do, like, you couldn't pay me to go anywhere near Ryan's dot. It's the Belanglo State Forest.
Wait, we're going on a tangent here, but I need to tell you something I heard the other day.
Okay.
I was listening to the radio and the young kids these days, the young boys, like 28, 25, whatever.
Is that young?
Well, it's young compared to me. I could be their mum.
Yep.
They like to be pegged.
What's pegged?
Like you putting on a strap on and sticking it in their bum hole.
Well, that doesn't that just mean they're all gay?
No, because they still want the female, but they just want it in the bum hole.
Well, listen, I have heard there is G-spots in the bum hole.
Yeah.
Anal is not for me.
No, but you could peg Ryan.
Imagine me just get on all fours, big guy. Oh, my. I would rather.
Could you?
No.
Like, just think about that for a second.
I would rather not.
No, but, like, just the thought of that in my head is.
Could you imagine pegging Craig?
No. No, I feel like, would my hips even be able to take it? Because they're pretty bad for a start. It's a lot of thrusting.
I would feel like Ryan, he would feel so emasculated, like just on all fours and his tiny wife who's half the size just like thrusting into him.
Imagine them being like, what are you doing? That is not how you do it. That is not how you thrust it into a woman or a bum hole.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
We've really gone off.
Okay. I don't remember the question.
We were actually having a really nice question about the lady who loves her husband so much.
Oh, yeah, don't peg him.
Don't peg him. No, and do not rim him. Don't take any advice from old mate Dirty Rim Job over there. But, yes, I do think having sex every now and again will help.
Yeah.
Even if you're just doing it for him.
I'm 35 and done with dating.
Yeah.
But. I want to have a baby.
Yeah, do it.
Should I?
Yeah.
take the leap and do it alone.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely, you should. I've got a girlfriend who has just done this. She got a sperm donor. She had frozen her eggs when she was 34. I think you should still be fine at 35. I mean, hopefully you've got a great egg count, whatnot, but I would not be wasting any more time. If you want to have a baby, I would not be waiting for a man. And even let's say you do meet someone at 36, more often than not, people aren't going to just want to jump straight into having a baby. And then before you know it, you could be 37, 38. Yeah. And time is not on your side as women. Like, I know it's hard to hear, but our biological clocks are ticking. Mm. So I would absolutely say get a sperm donor. My girlfriend, she's South African. It is like literally picking a dinner meal, right? Like, they give you a booklet with all the photos of the men, where they come from, their ethnicity, their hair color, eye color, heritage, any kind of health issues. You get a full rundown. It is wild. Their height, everything. Everything you could possibly want to know about said sperm donor. And then you'll say, okay, cool, this guy. And then, I mean, I don't know the rest of it, but his sperm gets put into the egg. And then she fell pregnant.
Yeah.
And her little boy is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
They live up in Queensland now. And she's like, my only regret is that I didn't do this sooner.
Yeah. I've been obsessed with Big Miracles.
Oh, is that the thing that comes on after maths?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's and so there was, emotional.
This season there was a single mum and she had a son and she really wanted to have another baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
To give him like a sibling.
Yeah.
But I would say to this mum, I would absolutely take the leap and do it.
Yeah, agreed.
And do it, and it will, like, you never, ever, ever regret a child.
Yeah.
And as long as you've got family and friends, honestly, half the time men are that pretty useless anyway, right? Like, I feel like when you're having more than one, it's helpful. Like, Ryan was really good when I had Bobby and Kobe because, but other than that, like, sometimes
it's,
when
it's
Ryan
kind of on you, right? Like, you're feeding and you're this and you're that.
And when Ryan goes away, like, my house runs so much smoother.
Yeah. Actually, I mean, my kids are older, but it's the same kind of with Craig. It's like, how is it more like everything gets done?
Everything gets done. Like, the house is tidier. The kids are better behaved. It's more calm.
Mm.
Do it.
Yeah.
And Kate and I will babysit.
Yes. And maybe you could call it Catherine.
Definitely don't call it Catherine.
Catherine Amy. That's a beautiful name. Amy Catherine.
I don't know how I feel about the name Catherine.
You don't like my name?
Well, is that your real name?
Yes.
Are you even a woman? This lady has asked, do I have another baby after my newborn died?
Oh, shit.
Oh,
look, I can 100 million percent understand why she would be apprehensive. Well, here we go. Like, I'm going to cry already. Because when we lost Eden, I was like, I'm never going to adopt. I'm going to get a surrogate. I'm going to foster. I just couldn't picture myself going through that and losing another child because
it's fine.
My bubble had burst.
Yeah, of course.
And it was like I couldn't picture having a screaming baby in my arms anymore.
And because you carried full term with Eden, right?
Yeah.
And then she just only survived 5 days?
Yeah, 6 days. So I can, like, even in that message, I can feel the anxiety and the desire. The desire, I think, is always there. The yearning, because quite often, I mean, obviously losing a child, horrendous. You never wish it on anyone, but it's the loss of the hopes and the dreams.
Yeah.
And you still want that, but you're shit scared.
Yeah, it's fear, right?
Yeah.
It's a fear of doing it, like losing another one.
Yeah. Like, people are, you know, they mean well and they'll say things like, I remember when I was pregnant with Emmy, they'd be like, oh my God, if you have another girl, it's Eden coming back. And
oh,
I was
God.
Like, oh shit, no. Like, I don't want that for Emmy.
Yeah, of
she's
course.
Her own person.
Of course.
But I also, that's not how, like, you know, she's my daughter and we lost her. But I don't want that pressure on this child, you know? Like, it's a lot. But I think the only person that can answer that is you.
Yeah.
But my DMs, they're not open, but they're open for you. No, they are.
My DMs are not open, but for you, I will open them.
No, they are open. But I, yeah, please, like I will happily
talk to her.
Yeah, and you know, when I was pregnant with Emmy, I have no photos. I have nothing.
Did you live in fear?
Yeah.
Were you just constantly worried?
Yeah, I would go for scans all the time, or I'd go to my doctor's and she'd see me in the waiting room and she'd get out the Doppler, she'd put it on me, we'd hear the heartbeat, and then she'd say, okay, see you next week.
You didn't buy one? I would have bought one, probably.
No, it was back in the day, mate. Oh, yes. I'm old. There's none of these apps and stuff. I know. Like that. I want to say be brave, and but I get the anxiety and the fear and everything that comes with taking that next step. And that, you know, there's no time frame. There's no, like, some people that I've met along the way, you know, jump straight back in and want, you know, to be pregnant and have a baby, and that's what they want for them. But I was like, well, first of all, I was adamant that I was never doing it again. But then it was, you know, almost a year and a bit later that I said to Craig, we'll just see what happens.
You won't try, but you won't not try.
Yeah. And one time, boom. But yeah. Oh.
That would be so hard.
Oh, give me her handle. I'm going to message her.
I'll give you her handle.
Handle. That's what the young people say these days.
Or her Instagram name.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have one last question?
Friends having a housewarming.
Yep.
I can't make it. Should they change the day?
What? Wait, so her friends are having a housewarming and the girl can't make it, and should they change the day? I mean,
what she's trying to say is no.
I mean, look, I've got different groups and circles of friends, and we will always put forward like a date for a dinner or a lunch or something, and then we put out a couple of dates. We do like a poll, and it's majority rules. So if six people can come on the 17th and four can come on the 20th and blah, 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 whoever can make the most, and that's sometimes I can't make any of them. And would I expect them to not go ahead or not to? Absolutely not.
It's also
unless you live there or something, I don't know.
It's also their big moment.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm making assumptions that they've bought a house. They're having a housewarming. That's the assumptions I'm going to make. Yep. That's their moment. Like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
I mean, I love you, but it's not about you.
You love her, do you? You don't even know who it is.
Yeah, but I don't want her to be like, oh.
Well, I wouldn't, unless there's loads of people who can't make it. I definitely, if it's only you that can't make the housewarming and everyone else can, I think you need to either just politely bow out or maybe try and do both. I don't know what, you know, where you have to be instead.
Or, you know what, send a gift and say, I'm really sorry I can't come. Can I come over, you know,
or don't even send a gift. Yeah, turn up the next weekend with some coffees and croissants and a little housewarming gift.
I want to see, because, you know, I want to say it again, it's not about you.
Yeah, she's got that message loud and clear. All right, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me back, Catherine. I love you.
I love you. Ask a Mate. We'll be back, guys, and we'll be answering all of your questions and your concerns. I hope this has been helpful in some way. Also, just disclaimer, we are not professionals at anything, and take everything we say with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Salty.
Salty rim?
You don't want a salty rim.
Yeah, you definitely don't. Only on a margarita.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, you love to rim a margarita.
Yeah,
what's your
problem?
Yeah,
because they're tasty as. Thank you for joining us. I will see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
I love you all. Bye.
Mwah. Mwah.